Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast. My special guest today is Professor Jennifer Engler, Chair of the Department of Theater at Texas Christian University. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program, as our listeners know. So if you could share with us a little bit about your training and background and career that sort of led you up to your time at TCU.
Yes, absolutely. I work predominantly professionally as an actor, director, and choreographer. So I have worked nationally in New York, Chicago, Kansas City, Detroit, and then most obviously here in the DFW area, because I have been a professor here at TCU. This is my 19th year. So I've spent a good portion of my life here and worked here as well. So. Yeah, I did do some work with Second City. That was probably that was kind of the foray out of my educational training. I did a lot of work in both movement and acting improvisation. So
wonderful. And so, how long have you been at TCU?
This is my 19th year at TCU. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great career. Tell us, as director of the Department of Theater, or chair of the Department of Theater, what degrees do you oversee?
We have 5 degrees here at TCU. We have a BA, and that is open to anyone at TCU. Any student who wants to come to TCU can be a BA. It's an ideal degree for somebody who maybe wants to have a few minors or double major. And then we have 4 BFA programs. So we have a BFA in musical theater, in acting, one in design and technology, and another we call theater studies, which is really a degree that's kind of half performance, half design and technology. So for somebody who wants to be maybe a future director or producer or an outstanding, amazing high school teacher, that's a great degree for them.
We'll focus today mostly on the MT and the acting degrees, but I want to ask a couple questions about that theater studies degree just to clarify some things. Is there an audition component to the theater studies degree?
Yeah, the theater studies degree, there is an audition component. So it's part portfolio review and it's part performance. So the student can select if they want to do that performance component in song or in acting, and then a portfolio review of whatever other work that they have done.
That's a really unique opportunity. That's wonderful. We may have to do another episode one day soon talking just about that. But I think if we covered 3 degrees in one episode, this would be 3 hours long. So let's focus today on the MT and the acting degrees. I always put my guests on the spot, and I'll always know who has listened to episodes in the past and who hasn't, because they're ready for this or they're not. But I'm going to ask you for your 60-second or less elevator speech on TCU's theater department. So give us the highlights, give us why people should be considering TCU, and we'll go into greater detail later, but 60 seconds or less, go.
Great. I think TCU appeals mostly to students who want a traditional college experience, and then within that, a very professional scale training program. So it's a great place for people to come if they still want to explore some of the liberal arts. About a third of the curriculum will be liberal arts, and 2/3 will be that BFA track. I think some of the best components of our program are its size. In the Department of Theater, our student faculty ratio is about 11-1. And then at the university, it's only 14-1. So I think our size is a huge benefit. And I think our location is another great benefit, that we are in DFW, the 5th largest theater place in the United States. And so our students can work professionally and get a lot of professional credits on their resume while still studying here. But I think the best part of our program is the people, and I mean that in terms of the faculty, staff, and students. I think the people that come to TCU in any of those places are just highly dedicated, highly motivated, highly organized, and you get to surround yourself by those people every day. So I think we have a way of being highly competitive without being cutthroat. I think there's a way that we can be honest and still be kind. And so I think those are some of the advantages to our program.
Well, I have to say that was one of the best elevator speeches I've heard recently. You stayed within the 60 seconds, which never happens when I ask that.
I tried.
Well done. So let's go now to the degrees. And is there much overlap with the MTs and the actors as far as their training?
Yeah, there is some overlap. We have the 2-degree tracks, but they're not mutually exclusive, meaning that some of the courses that appear on both degrees, they will take together. We don't have an acting one class for acting majors and an acting one class for musical theater majors. So we'll kind of take all of our BFAs in performance of acting and musical theater, and we'll shuffle them up. And then we have 2 sections of acting one so that we can keep our class sizes small. But it really is a mix of MT and acting in both of those sections. Same with like voice and speech one, movement one, auditioning. Those courses that they overlap, we really like to mix them up, let them set the bar for each other in those classes. And in the same way, when I say they're not mutually exclusive, it's not at all uncommon for us to have an acting BFA cast in the lead of a musical, or a musical theater BFA playing the lead in a classical play or a contemporary play. So the rule here is we just try to cast who we think is best for the role in the role, regardless of degree, regardless of what year you are. That's really how we work that.
And we'll talk more about...
There's a lot of crossover.
Yeah. We'll talk more about the performance opportunities in a second, but as long as you brought it up, are your productions open... college-wide or just to the theater majors?
Yeah, anyone at TCU can audition and be cast in a show here. It's very seldom that it happens, I'll be honest. Sometimes we'll have a BA who is, you know, cast in a show, and sometimes a non-major, but it's pretty rare, mostly because they're competing with people with a lot more training. And so it's kind of hard for them to break in. Yeah. And get those opportunities. So
that's understandable. So I'm a freshman theater major coming to TCU for my first year. Walk me through what my first year looks like. If you feel like we need to talk about MTs and then actors separately, we can do that, or you can do them at the same time, whichever you feel is the best way to do it.
No, that's great. And really in that first year, there is a lot of overlap between MT and acting. Not completely, but a lot. So if you were coming in as an MT or acting student, the first thing I would tell you is warn your parents. Most of your classes are going to be in your BFA. You're really not going to have time for core in the first year. You might take one core class each semester. And then that's going to be about it, because we're really getting you acclimated into the degree, into the BFA track. And so you're going to take probably 17 to 18 credit hours every semester your first 3 years at TCU. We try to make sure that in your final year it's a little bit less than that. It might be 14, 15, 16 credit hours as you're starting to, you know, get on that bridge to the professional world. And so in your first semester, you're going to take Acting 1, you're going to take a course called Art of the Theater, you're going to take MT Lab if you're a musical theater major, you're going to have private voice and dance lessons. I would say several of our acting students, probably 80 to 90% of our acting students as well, take private voice and dance each semester in addition to their curriculum, so they're still training in that way as well. You're going to be taking a course called Introduction to University Life, which is really just a course that kind of helps you navigate becoming a college student. What does that mean? How do you take care of yourself physically, mentally? What are the resources available to you here on this campus? What does it mean to have a liberal arts education? What are the professional theaters in the area, along with what does summer stock auditions look like, and when should you start thinking about those things? So that's that Intro to University Life class. In your second semester, MT and acting are going to take Movement 1, Voice and Speech 1. MT students will take that MT Lab again. I'm trying to think what else, script analysis, Yeah, I should have the curriculum up here in front of me, but I don't.
That's a pretty good idea of what they're going to be doing. Yeah. So that's great. A couple questions. So you mentioned that several of the BFA actors are able to take voice lessons and dance as part of their curriculum as well. Do you often, or do you find that every year you are redirecting MTs to acting, and then that's a way that actors can do that, or do you not redirect?
We sometimes redirect, particularly in an interview, if I'm hearing someone say that their kind of long-term aspiration is to do film or TV or those kinds of things, then I might redirect them and say, then maybe you want to think about the acting track, because you're going to get a lot more training in those mediums in the acting track than you will in the MT track. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we redirect, but I would say we certainly have more people who apply to the MT program here than we do for acting. But we don't have a shortage of people applying for the acting track either. So, it really is about kind of what are their desires. It's listening in that interview to see what is the long-term goal? What is the plan? And if a redirect's necessary, we might do that.
Yeah. And do you see everyone? Do you see actors and musical theater yourself, or is it two different faculties?
No, I see everyone.
Okay. Great. So you mentioned the mediums that they would be studying a little bit more in an acting track. Do the MTs have the opportunity to study things like acting for the camera or film and television as well?
They do. It's kind of a shell game. It's making sure that they've got enough room in their schedule and that we have enough room in the class. So, for instance, the on-camera class that I'm teaching this spring, I believe I have 5 or 6 musical theater BFAs in that course, because I had room and they had room. It doesn't mean it's guaranteed, but it's certainly an option.
Great. And a common question that we get asked for every program from people who have a lot of dance training going into this, are dancers allowed to level up their first year and not start in the beginning with everybody?
Right. So how we handle the training for dancers here is we will offer one idiom per semester in our program. So maybe we're going to focus on Broadway style jazz this semester, and so we're going to offer beginning, intermediate, and advanced level of Broadway style jazz, or it might be tap, or it might be modern, whatever it is. And so students will place into that class regardless of what year they are. So you might be a first year student who comes in and places in an advanced ballet class because that's the training that you have. But that same student might place into a beginning tap class. So it really is about the idiom and about their experience within that idiom. It's not really related to what year they are in the program.
And those same students are usually asking as well if there is room in their schedule to add or build out dance classes as well. Is that a possibility?
It is. You know, everything is contingent on kind of how many hours you came in with. Do you have dual credit? Do you have some AP? That certainly lightens the load. Some of our students may decide, hey, you know, in the summer after that first year, I'm going to go take, you know, a math or a lab science somewhere else so that I can free up some more time during the academic year to add some more dance classes. So we'll focus on that one idiom, and we cycle through in 4 years. So we're hitting tap, we're hitting jazz, we're hitting, you know, contemporary or hip hop. You know, we're trying to hit all of the areas. And then each semester, in addition, we also offer basically just a technique class. So every semester, a student could take just ballet technique. So a lot of our students might take whatever idiom we're offering plus the technique class. So they're taking those two classes. The other option that they have here at TCU is we have an amazing school of classical and contemporary dance here. They're as selective about their program as we are ours. And they offer dance classes that are open to any TCU student every semester. So a lot of our students will go over and take a dance class over at the School of Classical and Contemporary Dance. And then for some of our highest level dancers, they will audition for placement into the majors classes in the School of Classical and Contemporary Dance. So they might actually take a course with the majors in the dance program here at TCU. So there's several ways that you can do that in advance.
And you just brought up the coming in with APs or college credit courses. So that's a great segue to my question that I always ask about minors or even the possibility of double majoring. Can you speak a little bit about what sort of room they have in their schedule? Maybe if they aren't coming in with any APs or anything, is it possible to minor or even double major?
Minoring is something that many of our students find a way to do. Our rule about that is don't declare a minor until after your first semester. So when we have a BFA who comes in and they want to do a minor, we say, let's talk about that before you enroll for the spring. Because it gives the student time to really see what is this program like, how demanding is it, how many hours am I comfortable taking as a student. If you're somebody who says, oh, once I get over 15 hours, I start to go a little crazy, then you probably don't want to add a minor. It's also a good time for us to, you know, each student is assigned an advisor. So at that point, the advisor can sit and look at the degree progress, look at the load, and really look at what minor they're looking at and say, yes, let's go ahead and declare this now, or I don't know if this is a great idea. Majoring, a second major is really, 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 really difficult. I've been here 19 years. I've only had one student who has tried to double major, and he is currently a sophomore. So, you know, this is somebody who came in with like 40 college credit hours. So we said, sure, let's try it. Now, it hasn't been completed yet. So right now I can still say we've never had a BFA double major. Now we have BAs double major all the time. Right. That's a great path for them if they want to do that. So,
I'm trying to wrap my brain around 40 college credit hours coming. Was he coming right out of high school or was that a transfer?
He was coming right out of high school.
Wow. Yeah,
it's the first I've ever seen too. So he was pretty determined. He wanted to double major and figured out a way.
Incredible. So, that's great. Let's chat about performance opportunities. The first question that everyone always asks, of course, is can freshmen perform? And I'd like to hear not only the answer to that question, but your philosophies on it.
Yeah, that's great. So we do 6 to 8 productions a year. Two of those are always musicals. Two of those are always plays. One of those is always a studio production, which is entirely student directed and designed. And one is always a kaleidoscope, which is really a fancy word for saying it can be whatever we want it to be. So sometimes it's a musical, sometimes it's a review, sometimes it's a play. So that's how that works. And so we will audition all of the shows for a semester the weekend before the semester begins. So on the first day of classes, students know exactly what their obligation to Theater TCU is. So they know, okay, I've been cast here, or I'm working in a studio here. So yes, I'm available to go audition for that show at Stage West or Amphibian or Circle or CASA or whatever it is. Or they look at it and they go, no, I'm not available. I've got an obligation with Theater TCU. So any first through third year BFA performance major, musical theater acting, is required to audition for Theater TCU productions. So what that means is they can't come in and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not available for this show because I've taken a gig over here down the road. But if after casting, they're available, they can go try and book that gig down the road. So that's how it works. So that's why we cast that way, so students know what their availability is to work professionally. But we also do it because that means every director is in the same room during the casting sessions, and so we can give 3 people an opportunity rather than 1 person 3 opportunities. Mm-hmm. So that's our way of kind of spreading things out. Can first-year students be cast? Absolutely. We have some first-year students who are cast every year. You know, we had a BA who actually played a lead in a first year BA who played a lead in Company in the fall. So our rule is that the director casts who they think is the best person for the role, regardless of their major, regardless of their year. And then what we do in the fourth year is our BFA performance majors, they have the option. Certainly they're, you know, certainly encouraged to come audition for Theater TCU. But at that time, we think that's when they're really starting to bridge to the professional market. And so if they come in to our semester auditions and say, hey, I'm not available for this show, I'm only available for these two, or whatever it is, because they've got a gig somewhere else, then we say, great, good for you. So, I mean, I know this spring we had two students, seniors, who didn't audition for any of the shows in our season because they had professional gigs that were in conflict with all of our seasons. So we think that's how it should be. It's their time to start really dipping their foot into the professional world. It also frees up more opportunities on our stages for first through third year students and that kind of training. So that's how we do that here.
Talk to us more about those gigs down the road for underclassmen, especially because that's not something we've heard often on this podcast, where there are professional gigs not only encouraged but readily available to students during the school year, during their 4 years. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's really just a great benefit that we have being here because there is such a great professional market, and so we want our students to figure out how to take advantage of that. So some of those are internships. Some of our students will intern at different theaters, but mostly what they're doing is they're going out and auditioning and getting cast. And so, you know, for instance, it was just last week I went and saw three of our students in a fantastic production of Ragtime, and so they were able to do that while they were still students here. So you know, lots of our students have a chance to go out and work with professionals, to get EMC points, to be reviewed by the papers, to really start to tap into the industry here, so that what they're leaving with when they leave TCU is not just college credits. There are also these great professional credits on their resume. We have several students who are equity eligible by the time they graduate because they've been able to navigate all of that really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on top of that, we do a co-production with a professional theater company at least every other year. And so, you know, this last year, God love COVID, right? We did a co-pro with a professional theater called Hip Pocket Theater, which is this big outdoor kind of amphitheater. And we did a production of Electra there. And so that was, you know, a mix of professional actors, our students, and then performing at Hip Pocket. Next fall, we'll be doing a co-pro with Circle Theater, which is in downtown Fort Worth. And so that play, Kodachrome, that we'll be doing, we'll have about 8 to 10 student roles in it. The rest will be cast by equity actors. So it's a great time for them to get EMC points, to work with professionals, to get reviewed by the paper. More importantly, it's a different kind of training because they get that 2-week rehearsal with like a 4 to 6 week run, which is very different than what we're doing on campus, where we have these luxurious rehearsal times, and then we're up and down in 1 week. So, mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of the other key players in the faculty that the students will come in contact with during their 4 years there.
Yeah, absolutely. We have an incredible faculty. And so Penny Moss is one of our main musical theater faculty who has Broadway credits in the original Broadway cast of, oh boy, Crazy for You. Also in the revival, the Broadway revival of Chicago. So she still has a lot of connections with professionals in New York and that industry out there, which she really helps to bring to us. And she is also the one who really started to solidify our senior showcase. So that's exciting. Alan Shorter is another key faculty member in the musical theater program. He is a director, a composer, a pianist, a conductor. He is a multi-talented man. So we're so fortunate to have him here. In our acting program, we've got Lydia Mackey, who has an international and national career as a voiceover actress, has done work in film and a lot of stage work as well. So those are just a few of the key players. But really all of our faculty are still, we're still able to work professionally because we're in a market that allows for that. Mm-hmm. So we're really fortunate that we get to be at a university where our industry is readily available to us. So mm-hmm. pretty exciting.
And you brought up Senior Showcase, so let's talk about that. What does TCU do for their seniors for the showcase?
Yeah, so our Senior Showcase, it is not required of our BFAs in musical theater or in acting. I don't know of one that has opted out of going, but it is an opportunity. So in the fall, the showcase is really focused on a digital film TV commercial format. So in the fall, we are working on monologues, scenes, those kinds of things, and filming for the film industry. So this is what we share with agents in LA, Chicago. It's not nearly as much singing, dancing, right? It is TV commercial film work. And so that's what we're focused on. So those seniors involved in the showcase will spend the fall really getting all of that filming done, finishing up the touches on their websites and their reels, those kinds of things. And then in the spring, it turns more to the live showcase. And so we'll have a live showcase here locally. This year we performed that at the Isis Theater in downtown Cowtown. It's a beautifully newly renovated 500-seat theater. So that was a chance for us to invite local industry professionals to come and see their work. It was really exciting because I think we had more local industry professionals this year than ever before. I think in part because we moved it to a Tuesday finally instead of it being on a Friday when everybody was in conflict. But I also think what you see are all these industry professionals who, because they've worked with so many of our seniors in the professional market, they're there just to support them as much as recruit them. So that's been really exciting. So we have that local showcase, and now this week, actually today, all of our students got on a flight and are heading to New York for the New York portion of the showcase. And so the first day of that showcase is all workshops. There'll be 4 or 5 workshops about film and TV or commercial work. It might be what to look for in an agent or how to survive in New York, whatever those workshops are focused on that year. So that's the first day. And then the second day, we have a closed workshop or a closed showcase. So we're inviting 3 to 5 agents, casting directors to come sit, watch our showcase, and give the students immediate feedback to the work. So sometimes slight changes are made after that closed showcase from the recommendations from those agents or casting directors. And then the next day we have our open showcase. So that's when any industry professional can come and see our showcase, meet our students, and start to get involved. And then the last day, the majority of that day and the beginning of the day is spent usually with callbacks, interviews. Sometimes they're sent out on auditions based on kind of feedback and interest with the agents that they have seen so far. And then that night ends with a performance at 54 Below. So our students will go, they'll perform there, our alum comes, so it's them interacting with our alumni and really, you know, as I said, TCU is a traditional college experience. So once you bleed purple and go Frogs, like all of our alumni in that area or nearby, they want to come and see who are the new Frogs heading this way. So that's always a really exciting way to end our Senior Showcase experience. And then they fly home. So
that is a packed week.
Showcase.
It's a busy week.
It is.
Wow. That sounds amazing. That sounds really great. Great. So talk to us about the DFW area. You already mentioned some of the amazing local professional theaters that the students can work with. And you said that TCU is a very classic college campus feel and environment. So tell us about student life. I always say the students are going to eventually during their 4 years leave campus. What is there to do in the area? What do students do there?
Yeah, there's a lot to do in the area. So we have a beautiful museum district. If you want to go, we've got the Kimball and the Modern, and we have, you know, a whole area of fantastic world-class museums for students to go and explore. We're right down the road from Casa Mañana, which is a huge equity theater here in town. They produce kind of a Broadway series, and then they've also got a children's theater series and some youth training that goes on there. And then also we're very close to some other great small professional theaters. Ones that we have worked with in the past are Stage West, Amphibian, Circle. These are some theaters that have really invested in TCU and in our students and in those kind of co-production experiences. So we've had multiple co-pros with most of those theaters. And then there's certainly Dallas. So, you know, we say it's the Twin Cities. If you've never been to Texas, Fort Worth and Dallas are anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and 45 minutes apart, depending on the time of day. And so, you know, some people don't understand how big Texas is, but the DFW airport, in terms of square mileage, is larger than Manhattan. It's pretty sprawling. So we do tell our students, particularly if you're wanting to audition professionally, it's a good idea to have a car or know that you're going to have a pretty sturdy Uber bill if you do indeed start to explore those options. But yeah, there's a lot of great theater to go see. Bass Hall is very close to our campus. It's in, again, that Sundance Square area of downtown Fort Worth. And it's a great roadhouse. So it's really wonderful for us when we've got alums who are on national tours, because they're coming really close to campus. And so we can get them here for master classes or Q&As or those kinds of things. But Bass Hall is a beautiful roadhouse if you want to go see those national tours that are traveling through. So that's that local scene. And then in terms of our campus, I always say TCU is really just a small school pretending to be a big school. It's a beautiful campus, lots of pretty blonde brick and lots of gorgeous flowers and all of those things. But, you know, TCU, we're capped at about 11,000 students. So I think some people think of TCU as bigger than it is, because I think we have a lot of the trappings of a large university, with being part of the Big 12 and ESPN weekends and kind of that athletic national reputation. But because we're in DFW, we have lots of great speakers, guest artists, those kinds of people can come in and be a part of our campus community quite easily. Lots of student organizations. Greek life is big here, if that's of interest to you. So I think we have a lot of the trappings of a large university, but we're really a pretty small university. Our chancellor always says, you know, TCU is a great place because you can walk across campus and you will always see someone you know, you will always see someone you don't know, and someone you want to get to know. So I think, you know, it's to me, the size is kind of ideal. Mm-hmm. And I say that about our program, but also about the university.
Yeah, I always ask for some insight whenever there is a religious connotation in the name, to sort of talk to us what that means. And I always, you know, I see students every year that Texas Christian comes up and they say, well, I'm not a Christian, or I don't want to go to a school that, you know, has strong religious beliefs. Talk to us about what the religious aspect is of TCU.
Yeah, so when TCU was founded, there was a institutional affiliation with the Disciples of Christ Christian Church. And so there's a Disciples of Christ Christian Church. I can see it out my office right now across the street from campus. And, you know, but the truth is TCU is ecumenical by design. We have people of all faiths and no faith here at TCU. I think more than any kind of specific religion, what we feel like we are able to talk about is ethics, what it means to be an ethical leader, what it means to be ethical. I think it's a place where the C in TCU can kind of be as large or as small as you want it to be. There's certainly people here of a variety of faiths, and there are student organizations that are available for you to explore and deepen that faith if that's what you want to do. In terms of what's required, you know, it's not a school where you have to be a specific faith In the core, you do have 1 3-credit-hour religion course that you would take. And so that could be in world religions, it could be in Buddhism, it could be in Hinduism, it could be in New Testament, you know, whatever. So there's a lot of options for that course. Mm-hmm. And really that's the only core requirement, is you need 1 religious traditions overlay in one course. At no time have we been censored in the theater. In my 19 years, we've never been told, oh, you can't do that play, or you can't do that musical, or you can't do that on stage. It has never come into play in terms of when we're choosing a season. We're getting ready to produce Andrew Lippa's Wild Party right now. So, you know, as I say, I think the sea is as large or as small as a student wants to make it.
You actually read my mind as to the next question I was going to ask. Is there ever any censorship there? And the other question, and it just came up recently with one of my students, so I'm going to ask it on their behalf. Is it a safe space still for LGBT students if the word Christian is in the name?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have many LGBTQ students. We have students who are transitioning. We have students who are very open about their sexual identities and their orientations, and that's never been an issue here at TCU.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's switch gears and talk about the audition process. My first question always, do you pre-screen?
We do. We pre-screen through Get Accepted, those profiles, yeah.
And I should, I guess, say we're talking about 2 different degrees. So for BFA MT and BFA Acting, you pre-screen both?
We do. And, you know, we actually have some students who will apply to TCU and they will say that they're interested in both. So we might have a student who says, I'm auditioning for musical theater and for acting, and this one is my preference, and this one is my secondary. So that happens, and that there's a way to note that in their pre-screen as well.
And about how many pre-screens do you receive each year for both degrees?
Varies. Pre-screens, I want to say about 400.
And do you personally lay eyes on those, or are they, do you divide and conquer with your faculty?
No, we have a group of about 3 to 4 faculty who all watch them and rank them. And then we've just kind of got a system where, okay, if it hits this number or above, they've passed. If it's, you know, mm-hmm. you know when you're ranking them, if you've scored it below this number, then you're essentially saying I would not pass them. So it's usually 3 or 4 sets of eyes that go on every pre-screen.
Each of you watch 400 pre-screens. Bless you.
Yeah.
Wow. And from those 400 pre-screens, approximately how many do you move forward to a live audition? And break down for us, if you can, MT to acting. If you can, right. Even.
Yeah, I can't do that. I would have to really look at the numbers. I could probably do that in a week if you came back to me. I would say we probably reject 20 to 30% of pre-screens. So we're seeing probably 60 to 70% of those who pre-screen.
And where do you see those live auditions other than on campus?
Yeah, so certainly we have our on-campus auditions. We have a couple of virtual dates for people who maybe, you know, don't want to travel or don't have the time available to travel. And then we attend auditions in Atlanta, Kansas City, Dallas, New York, Chicago, and Anaheim.
You travel. That's great.
We travel.
So now specifically MT versus acting, what are you aiming for the incoming class size for each of those?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same for both. So ideally, we're looking to bring in about 5 or 6 men and 5 or 6 women in. So we're looking to bring in about 12 students in musical theater and about 12 students in acting.
Okay. How many offers do you usually have to make to get to that number?
It's different depending on what the major is. But typically, like for musical theater, like let's say musical theater women, we'll say yes to 12 to 15, 12 to 16 to okay. yield that 5 or 6.
Is that all at once, or does that, since we're talking about this and it's a hot button issue right now amongst my students, do you make all of those offers at once, or is that including waitlist numbers?
So we don't do a waitlist. We think waitlists are kind of cruel. It's like telling a student, oh, we might want you here, so hang on. So we really don't do that. In the mm-hmm. same way, we don't have a cut system. You know, we jury our students every year just to get in the room with all the faculty and set common goals and respond to the work that's being done and what should be worked on next. Mm-hmm. But we don't have a cut system. In the same way, we don't really have a wait list. So, yeah, we don't do that. So that's what I mean. We're shooting for this kind. So it's always a little weird. Sometimes we'll end up with 9 in musical theater, and sometimes we'll end up with 17, you know, because it's not an exact science. We're not necessarily waiting for someone to say no before we say yes to someone else.
I'm so happy to hear you say it's not an exact science, because that's the hardest thing sometimes for the students to understand. And they always think, oh, if you know, I'm waiting for this one person to drop out, I'm next on the list to go in. And you don't wait list, but I know that's never the thing. And as you guys are all gambling, they don't understand that either, that the schools are really gambling when they make these offers, because they do make more offers than what they're shooting for an incoming class. So yeah. There could be a year, hopefully it, well, I don't know, maybe it will happen and that's a good thing or not, but where 10 of those 12 girls all say yes, then you're right. Gonna have a big class.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I hope I didn't put that out into the universe for you this year.
well, and here's the thing, is the students we're saying yes to, they have multiple offers. I don't know of any student that we're going to say yes to that we're the only place that said yes to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the top tier students in the country. So it's really about them finding the right fit for them. And I think sometimes, you know, they get bogged down with, oh, what is the national reputation, or... You know, and I always just tell students, go visit. You'll know in like 3 minutes if it's the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true of people who come to TCU. They know within a couple minutes if this is their vibe, if this is where they want to be. So.
Yeah, you get a gut feeling when you're on
campus. It's a gamble. It is a gamble.
I always get nervous for some of the schools too that I know are aiming for 20 and they're making... 40 to 50 offers. I think it's, I can name a couple of schools that it happened to last year that they got a lot more yeses than they were hoping for, or that they bargained for, I should say. All right. As we begin to wrap up today, and your time with us, tell us something that you are looking forward to at TCU.
Something I'm looking forward to. Well, hey, I just got confirmation today that Kristen Chenoweth will be coming to join us again this coming fall for another master class. We had her this last fall, and it was such a great experience for our students. She's such a giving, wonderful, compassionate teacher, as well as an amazing artist. So I was excited to hear from her today that she'll be joining us again next fall. So that I'm looking forward to. We also have Regina Taylor coming here in a couple weeks, so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to our students working with her. She's doing a master class in on camera, and then she's also doing a workshop, Playwriting for Social Change, which is really exciting. So I'm looking forward to those things. And, you know, it's been a little weird because I feel like in COVID, my mind kind of lost a year. You know, I've lost a year. And so I feel like these students, you know, that are graduating this year, I'm like, how can that be? You're just juniors. You can't be graduating yet. So I'm just really looking forward to the remaining weeks that I have with our seniors to, you know, to see their showcase, to see their successes, to really celebrate them, because, you know, we all lost a little work time. With these students when COVID hit. So I'm looking forward to just really wrapping up their senior year. I'm excited for them.
That's wonderful. Jennifer, tell us if people have more questions, students or families have more questions about TCU, what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, the best way to get in touch, certainly on the website, you have a way to contact me directly, but you know, j.engler@tcu.edu. If I can't help you, I can get you to the person who can. So, great. And I'm always happy to do that.
Great. Well, thank you so much again for joining us today and sharing the information about TCU. I do these podcasts because I want everyone to hear it directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So it's wonderful that you were able to spend some time with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
All right, have a great day. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.